Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
But right now, I want to talk about the sales of supplements and vitamins. I don't know about you, but my household, we bought a lot more of these during the pandemic. And if you look at the numbers, there's astounding numbers that are related to the growth of the sales. People are buying supplements. They're buying more vitamins. Vitamin C up 150%. Elderberry up 370% during the pandemic. Vitamin D and melatonin, zinc among them. So I started thinking, like, all these different supplements and vitamins that I'm taking, so many people are taking, and we're all buying, and which ones should you spend on, and maybe which ones are not as much worth it so much? Let's talk about in terms of building immunity and the things that are on our minds as we are concerned about our health now than more than ever for most of us. Let's talk to Dr. Bethany Dorfler. She's the clinical research dietitian over at Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Bethany, thanks for joining the show this afternoon.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so happy you are here, because I've been wondering about this a lot, as I know in my own personal talks with people, and I just asking, we're taking a lot more vitamins and supplements than we used to. In fact, some of the ones I've always bought are sold out, I find now, and I have to back order. You can see that there's a lot of interest in this category. Is there anything you'd just sort of tell us out of the gates here about what's worth it, kind of what's not, your view on that?
Yeah, so I think I'd love to talk about the role of a healthy diet, because, you know, of course, that comes down to the foundation of what I think Americans really need to focus on to protect themselves. But more specifically with supplements, you know, it's important to point out that the World Health Organization, the CDC, at this point do not have a formal recommendation on which supplements are even really effective in COVID. So, you know, there's some preliminary research about which vitamins, especially if you're deficient, seem to help protect you against viruses. But there's current research going on right now seeing if those, what we know about those supplements, holds true for the coronavirus. And so, you know, I think in the next year or two, we'll have a lot more data to kind of fine tune and personalize that message more in terms of dose, you know, strength and efficacy. But at this point, we have very preliminary research on the role of vitamin D and zinc and some others that I'm happy to get a little bit more granular about.
Let's do that, because I think those do come up. Vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D often comes up in relation to people just concerned about building immunity. Are you a believer that those can help? I understand the diet part, but then the supplement part separately, can they help?
Yeah, they can help, but with, you know, a contingency plan. So the first thing that's really important for people to understand is that if you have a vitamin deficiency, if you are frankly deficient in vitamin D or zinc or vitamin C, then you are someone who is going to get a big immune boost from getting your levels to kind of where they should be. There's less confidence about someone who actually is not deficient taking those supplements. In fact, we don't really see that same immunoprotective effect. You know, as I mentioned before, a lot of what we know about vitamin D and C and zinc has been studied for its impact on immunity as it relates to viruses, the flu virus, cold viruses in general, and is only recently being studied in cases of COVID. Specifically, you know, vitamin D is an interesting one. Kind of the more we learn about vitamin D, the more we see how important it is for us to get that one just right. And it's a little hard to get in your diet. So I think a supplement is reasonable, but certainly some of my clients, you know, can really, this is one that they can easily overdo. There are some preliminary studies with vitamin D showing that if you are deficient, you are more likely to test positive for the coronavirus. If you have COVID, you are likely to be sicker and have kind of a higher risk of dying. But that may be true for people who are just vitamin D deficient in general, because this really does play an important role in immunity. So I think for vitamin D, my suggestion would be, if you're taking a good multivitamin that has some vitamin D in it, that is likely enough. If you want to be certain, it's best to follow up with your primary care doctor and get a blood check, you know, get a serum check to see what your vitamin D is looking like, because it could be low in spite of your vitamin supplementation, or it could be spot on right where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. What about zinc? Any warnings there or anything we should know?
Yeah, so there have been some interesting preliminary studies, not that many, so I always kind of caution people that, you know, we're talking about one or two or three studies here that are looking at patterns on zinc supplementation with COVID positive patients. So this is another one that you seem to get a big immune boost if you are deficient, and some groups are kind of higher risk of being deficient, like vegetarians or people with limited diets. But recent small studies have shown that an increased dose of about 50 milligrams of zinc in hospitalized patients with COVID-19, they did not see an improvement in kind of duration or severity of the viral course. So that one is important if you're deficient, but if your levels are adequate, probably not doing much for you. What I will also say about zinc is that it's easy to get too much of a good thing fast. Many supplements are sold in 50 milligram doses, which is, you know, more than three times what the recommended daily allowance is. So we usually advocate for not more than 50 milligrams of supplementation for, you know, a week at a time, unless you're otherwise specifically prescribed to take a higher dose for a longer period of time by your doctor.
Melatonin is another one on the list, and elderberry. You want to address either one of those? Those are way up in terms of sales. I just wonder in terms of what they're doing for us.
Yeah, I'll start with elderberry. I think echinacea, elderberry, you know, some of these are very interesting in terms of their kind of ability to kind of ramp up the immune system. So, you know, this is another one where elderberry is, you know, there's some preliminary evidence looking at a special type of echinacea called Indian echinacea. Those studies are being done in Thailand and in some of our some of the Asian research areas looking at how this might modify a viral course in someone who is COVID positive. But echinacea and elderberry specifically do not appear or have not really been formally studied in COVID-19. You know, one little note of caution with these particular supplements is that their job is to increase white blood cells and kind of T cells and kind of ramp up that natural immune response on the part of the body. And for some people, that can be a really bad thing. If you are a person who has an autoimmune condition or you are taking medications, like if you've had an organ transplant or you're taking medications designed to kind of suppress a very active immune system, you are going to want to talk to your doctor about whether or not you should be taking supplements that are designed to really ramp up your immunity. In very rare cases, some people have reported, allergic-like reactions called a cytokine storm from some of these supplementations because almost they work too well and you get histamine and white blood cells that seem to kind of ramp up in concentration, and people can get allergic-like reactions from some of these supplements.
Oh, that's good to know. And it shows you just, you know, how you do need to research these things before you just decided to pop them, I guess. You know, fish oil is another one. Dr. Bethany, mm-hmm. I hear come up so much. I mean, they're just, you know, they're expensive. And I just wonder, is it worth it?
Yeah, you know, fish oil is another one, has been studied in kind of multiple disease courses. And there is a true role for omega-3 fatty acids and kind of fish oil supplementation, whether we're talking about cardiovascular disease or other kind of inflammatory conditions. I will tell you that as it relates to COVID, the research is preliminary and it's evolving. There are some studies not related to COVID, but in ventilator dependent patients, seeing how fish oil supplementation may be able to get people kind of off of the ventilator faster and kind of reduce the lung injury. But, you know, some of that is still very preliminary as it relates to COVID. I don't think we have, any specific data to really guide people on omega-3s. What I would tell people, though, is just general good nutrition advice about omega-3 and fish oil supplementation. And just to clarify, fish oils are usually the kind of the mechanism by which people get omega-3 fatty acids. Mm-hmm. Those fatty acids contain two compounds called EPA and DHA. which are very anti-inflammatory in nature. Some cardiologists will use very high doses of it to lower cholesterol, specifically triglycerides. But for the general public, we try not to exceed more than 2,000 milligrams of that a day.
Why is that?
As you get into higher doses, besides some of the GI upset that you can get, it can have blood thinning effects, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But again, your medical team really needs to be aware that you're taking that high of a dose. It can interfere with the efficacy of some medications. But, you know, there are also, I think, where vitamins are concerned, kind of a good rule of thumb or a good reminder to the general public is you reach a point of diminishing returns. You know, as in the case of some of these vitamins we've talked about so far, if you're deficient, supplementation absolutely boosts your immune system. But once your levels are repleted or sufficient, you get very minimal benefit by doing, you know, kind of over and above. So, you know, less is sometimes more when it comes to vitamins.
Okay, just a minute or two left, Dr. Bethany, and a couple of questions from our listeners I want to get to. 262, ask Dr. Bethany about taking aloe vera liquid. This particular person takes it for bloating, et cetera, but I hear a lot about aloe vera. I've even seen the powder form that you can put in smoothies. Mm-hmm. What's the benefit? Mm-hmm. What would you say about aloe vera?
Yeah, in my practice, like in a GI practice, we use aloe vera, although cautiously. It is a natural laxative. There are some polysaccharides, some kind of starch compounds that have been thought to be good for tissues. The one thing I will say about aloe vera is that what you get matters. It's easy to get latex components of the aloe plant, which are thought to kind of irritate the colon cell. So it's very important that the preparation that you get is latex-free. And, of course, because it acts like a laxative, I would always let your medical team know what supplements you're taking.
Mm-hmm. Ask about, A47 says, ask about vitamin D2 versus D3.
Mm-hmm. So there are multiple forms of vitamin D, and, you know, our body is really clever and convert vitamin C from the sun through the skin, you know, converted in the kidneys to get to the active form. So D3 is considered the more kind of biologically active form, or the form that your body converts it to before, you know, it really has its full potency or potential. If you take D2, your body's just going to have to convert it. And for some people, that conversion is a little sloppy. So the thought is, the recommendation is to jump, you know, right to the active form and take D3. But it's also possible, especially if you're taking really high doses, to get too much of a good thing quickly. So, you know, be careful with vitamin D. If you're taking more than 1,000 international units a day, make sure your doctor's aware so that that can be monitored for you.
Super helpful information, Dr. Bethany. I hope that there's a time in the near future you can come back, because there are many, many, many supplements super popular that we didn't get a chance to get to, but this helps a lot. So thank you for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Be well.